Welcome back to another episode of Winning Through Culture. I'm Tim Flanagan, and I'm here and excited to be with Jason Goldie today. Jason has been with our organization for a number of years, serving in a number of different capacities. The capacity that we're going to speak to today with Jason is the work he does as the president of an internal division of ours that works directly with closely held businesses. And as Jason and I were having a conversation about some of the work he does with closely held businesses, I said, wow, I think there's a great podcast opportunity here to tie the succession planning discussion and kind of what's next in a business into culture. So welcome, Jason.
Thank you so much, Tim. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here as always. And I'm looking forward to our time together. So, you know, the genesis of this was a comment you made relative to working with closely held businesses. And we won't talk about the specific situation that led us to this conversation because that would be inappropriate, of course. But you were working with a closely held business. And one of the things you have said before, which is true, is most people start a business because they want to be their own boss. You know, some people start a business because they want to make a lot of money, but ultimately it's either they have an idea or a passion they want to pursue and they want to pursue it on their terms and they're willing to take the risk. That's where people start. What most people lose sight of, though, is at some point, the cycle of your time in that business may come to an end. And that's what I thought we could talk about today.
Sure, absolutely. And it's been fascinating to be involved in that particular case that you're talking about, but just the broader spectrum and the work that we've done over the years is you look at the reasons people get into business. To your point, the number one for a while has been to be your own boss.
Yep.
Some have been disenfranchised with the corporate world. Others have been for financial freedom, flexibility, you know, all those things. And a lot of times they don't know what they're asking for. And even more often, they just know how to do something really well. And they have a passion around it. And they identify, I think I can do this as good as the next person, if not better than most. And now suddenly they have a business. It starts with an idea and often an army of one. And as success often produces, they find themselves 10 years, 20 years down the road. Now they've created a business. They have employees. They have relationships with those individuals there, relationships with key customers of the business, whatever that may be. And it's a harrowing experience. And through all of those efforts and the time and blood and sweat and tears that goes into that, they finally find themselves one day saying, I'm not going to do this forever. What do I need to do to ensure that my business goes on, that my employees go on in their best position for success? And then one of the other things that we've identified is there's an often unconsidered piece of that as well is, what am I going to do with me after I'm out of this business as well? You know, so there's often quoted statistic is that 75% of business owners regret selling their business within 1 year. It's because they wake up the next day and, what am I going to do with myself? So we just saw that as an opportunity to be able to step in and facilitate that very difficult conversation for people.
Yeah, and I know there's so much, you know, you think about all the resources out there for someone to start a business. There's lots of resources, but again, back to the life cycle of a business or certainly the person that started it and their eventual exit from that business, the business hopefully will go on beyond them if that's their intention and it's built to last. What are some of the things that you've seen as someone starts to, as an owner of a business, kind of awaken to, hey, I might not be doing this forever? I know there are certain events where somebody just comes along, private equity with a check, boom, you're out. But even in those instances, it's usually not something the business owner has thought about, like, is how do I get out of this and how do I get out of it in a way that takes care of, to your point, the people that helped make this business what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately, too often it is an event that occurs where the owner is having to be faced with their own mortality. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's a health scare or an accident or any of those other types of things, where up until then, you're going to live forever, just like we're all going to. So they get presented with that inflection point to say, oh my goodness, I am not going to be in this forever. And the more savory aspects of that are, to your point, somebody calls and makes an offer and early in your career, you're like, no, I'm in this for the long haul. But the further in you get, the more the earth starts looming large in the window, I think it's a movie quote, to say, maybe it is time to start to consider that as well. And what I'm going to look for. And I would say the third thing is with a lot of owners that you speak with, I think there's just a level of exhaustion that has occurred. And I think that's definitely been impacted by this last couple of years that we've been through. But even if you go back a decade, you had a segment of business owners that maybe were considering selling. And then you go through the Great Recession that we went through at that point in time. Now, the great news for a lot of those conversations we've had, they came back even stronger than they were before. But now it's time to start considering that again.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously the title of our podcast is Winning Through Culture. And one of the things that I thought we could touch on in this vein is, you know, as you've worked with business owners and their closely held businesses, I mean, what have you seen as some of the cultural elements of, maybe we'll start with the owner that has a healthy, vibrant business. Why don't we start there?
I think in the businesses that I've seen that have had that healthy culture has been a very intentional approach from ownership to empower their people to grow in their respective positions.
Okay.
You know, one recent example comes to mind. I asked the question, could you take a 6-month vacation and feel absolutely no concern that your business not only will be able to be sustained, but grow? And it was an unmitigated, absolutely confident that I believed the business would continue to grow. And the more that I've gotten ingrained in that particular business, interviewing employees, those types of things, I believe it.
Yep.
So I think it's been that allowing people to step into their magnificence and their brilliance and be able to operate there. It's a trust factor that goes into that as well. But the flip side is also true. When you look at the organization in this particular instance, you have a group of individuals that it is quite clear that the business they've created is not just about making widgets.
Yep.
It is about the mission that they're to serve, and that it's about the experience they want to create for the people that they're working with. So I think those are two big things. One is empowering people, and the second one is just the overall buy-in on the mission and vision of the overall organization from top to bottom.
So in that situation you're referring to, I'm curious, did you see as you've worked with this owner and their employees and this discussion around a transition, but do you think that the reason they could leave the business for 6 months and it be growing was an intentional set of factors that that business owner kind of employed over the last several years, or was it just kind of happenstance?
Yeah, I think as often as the case, it's probably a little bit of both that went into it. I think he, in this particular instance, often maybe you start a business, maybe you find the business is thrust upon you and suddenly you're an owner. You never intended for that to be the case. I think through the life experience in this particular case, it was very intentional to say, I need to make sure that I am positioning this organization to outlive me, to run beyond my time here.
Okay. So there's a little bit of both, the intentionality of making sure kind of mindset, hey, I want to create a culture, I want to create an atmosphere where people are growing so the business grows in my absence. And then obviously nothing about culture is linear. So or goes up all the time. That's a future podcast episode, but it's good insight. I appreciate it. So as you think about circumstances, because in the work you've done over the years, you've had the good fortune of working with many business owners that I'll call it have a happy ending relative to what transpires, either the transfer of that business to next generation, sale. Have you seen situations that either through a lack of planning or poor planning or bad circumstances have turned out not so good?
Well, I have. And if you look at the just the broad picture, it has to happen, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, if you look at family-owned business, only 30% make it from generation one to generation two. Only 12% actually make it to generation three. And I think there's often a mindset, and we've probably all heard this said before, is I'm going to die at my desk or on the floor or whatever it may be, is I'm in this for the long haul. But the fact of the matter remains is nature is undefeated. 100% of people who own a business are going to exit at some point in time. It's just a question of whether they exit at a time, and often this is a conversation we have, time and value, that you want to exit your business at that point in time. So there have been those stories where it was just delayed until which point maybe that health event did happen, or I just don't want to do this anymore. And the impact of that ranges from winding down the business and letting some of your employees know that they need to go find other places to work, to what more often is the case is kind of that damage control triage emergency action plan. Mm-hmm. Owner is no longer here. What do we do? Yeah. How do we pick up the pieces of the puzzle?
You know, and those are obviously real events that happen and terribly unfortunate for all parties involved. But I know part of the work you do is to help, again, the business owner kind of get out ahead of this decision and be thoughtful and intentional. I am curious in your work and kind of your experience, Jason, how does that ultimately impact the value of the business?
Great question. That actually ends up being where we start. Because no matter where you are in the life cycle of your business, mm-hmm. if it's day one, you're in the middle or you're at the end, A, understanding what is the value of your business, which often ends up being something that kind of maybe you feel like you know, but you don't really know. Yeah. You know, so let's stop and take a look at what would a disinterested third party be willing to pay for my organization at this point in time. And with that, we're empowered to then take a look a little step further to say, are there things that I could do with my business, in my business, around my business that actually represent opportunities to increase that value? And sometimes it could be something as simple as maybe adjusting some of the recurring revenue streams that I have with customers or clients. That may be a value driver. It could be the way I'm managing some of the financials of the company, just minor tweaks there that represent significant value maximizers. And that's why it's a powerful conversation, no matter where your life cycle is in the company, because those are things that you can take action on immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think that intentionality obviously is critically important. And the idea that you can actually enhance the value of the business by taking a more proactive approach and barring the private equity event, which, you know, I know happens more and more frequently, it seems, but I think most of the business owners you work with and that you and I both know care about their people enough that they want that continuity and rewards for their people beyond their time there. So that tends to not be a private event. Not saying that universally, but in a lot of instances, that's a different exchange of value. Maybe kind of taking a broader perspective since you've been working with so many closely held business owners for as long as you have to include financial advisors in the work you do, coaching advisors. You're both working with business owners that own a business outside of our profession and people that have a business inside of our profession. What are some of the elements culturally you tend to see that are reflective of a healthy business, satisfied business owner, satisfied employees? Because I think, again, back to the purpose of this Winning Through Culture podcast, really trying to pass on ideas, experiences, and themes of culture. And I always like to start with, what's good culture look like?
Sure. One commonality that I see is just a level of care, mm-hmm. a level of care and connectivity to the individual. Yes, we're here to be in business. Yes, we're here to provide a service or a product or those types of things. But ultimately, it's people mm-hmm. that are driving this. And engaged people are going to do that even better. Yeah. And you know what? We may experience some joy along the way in doing it. So I think it's taking that time to stop and connect with what truly matters to this person. Whether it's an advisor or a business owner, I think they do that for themselves as well. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, what do I define as success at a human level? So not just at what's my target that I'm shooting for in business. So I think it's that level of awareness that they're willing to bring to themselves and then to those people that they've been charged with caring for. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the other big distinction is, you know, there's an adage that people are assets, and I've seen and understand why that is a statement.
Yeah. It's an interesting one.
But people are people.
Yeah. You know?
And I think
the relationships.
Absolutely.
Not chattel.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, so, and I think when you get, particularly as you get to that, let's call it the twilight of your business ownership, the majority, I'll say 2/3 of people that I work with start to really care about, am I leaving a legacy that is connected to all of these individuals and their personal success? Not just is the business going to continue to thrive. That's really, really important because often that's another person, if you will, that,
yes.
that you've been tasked with raising. But I think that's the biggest thing I see, Tim. And it actually shows up in some of the experiences you have I think it's depending on the resource that you look at. There's somewhere around 250,000 businesses that are expected to sell in this next little bit. And depending on the resource, 70-80% of them actually won't happen. The closer they get to the point of actually sellers cold feet, mm-hmm. you know, they just walk away. And a lot of times in conversations I've had with people, you brought up private equity earlier, and private equity is a great resource. And a lot of times you can maximize your dollar on the way out. But that big nagging question comes up is the culture of my organization going to continue to be intact and continue to build upon this great foundation mm-hmm. that we created? Or is this something that is just going to be a shell of its former self?
Yeah. I think, again, the different types of business owners have different care and concern, but my question was what I'll call good culture, and that is being very attentive to the people and caring about the people beyond the time that I am there as a business owner. I don't even know that we need to go to the converse of that. Well, say, what does not good culture look like? I'm going to shift gears because you brought something up earlier, and I do think this is a very overlooked reality is as a business owner gets closer to an exit, whether it's in this case planned or intentional. You talked about cold feet, Jason. You also talked about the what's next, that most business owners, as we know, are very type A people. They're in motion all the time. They don't tend to sit around on the beach much. What do you see as a speaking to the business owner? I mean, what do you see the preparatory work they need to do for themselves? You know, we're talking about the business and the people in the business and the success of the business, but then there's them in life after that. So what are some of the things you talk to them about specifically to be considering or thinking about for that phase after the sale of the business so they don't have regrets?
Yeah, absolutely. I think if I could back up, I began my career as a more traditional family financial planning. And mm-hmm. it's when you look at a retirement or financial independence conversation, we were always conditioned to talk about that even then is, you know, what are you going to do with yourself when you retire? And most people think, whatever I want. And that is true for a short period of time, but there's only so many trips that you can go on or so many rounds of golf you can mm-hmm. play before you start that search for significance. And to your point earlier, when you're so used to being in the action,
yep.
you've been the person who calls the shots, has to make business decisions on a day in and day out basis. You've had people coming to you constantly that you can develop or asking for feedback or counsel, and then nothing. It's done at that point. You know, it doesn't mean that those relationships don't continue, but you're no longer sitting in that
seat. Your day to day is very different.
Yeah. So, it is very interesting, and it is a process in having that conversation to figure out what does Act 3 look like for you? Because most business owners are not going to just go sit on the beach or in the villa. You know, maybe that's a part of it, mm-hmm. but there always is that, what am I going to do with myself beyond this? Oftentimes, it ends up being starting another business.
Yeah, I was going to say, bring that point up. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that may be okay. It could be a companion business, actually. That's often a way that we see that you can continue to maintain some level of connectivity on a consulting basis or those types of things. Beyond that, there's a huge opportunity to bring that level of knowledge and skill to other people. Mm-hmm. You know, so you see an opportunity to be able to counsel other people that have been sitting in your seat from 20 years ago. Yeah. I see a big passion for that. Charitable organizations, being able to give back via that. But it's whatever it is that around that passion, there needs to be an outlet mm-hmm. for that level of energy, to your point. And I don't think it's something that is often discussed.
Yes, I would agree with you. I think it's in the category of, I was saying to someone last week that when you become an empty nester, that's the biggest life transition no one ever talks about or prepares you for. And I would say that transition of leaving your business, I guess in some respects, is becoming an empty nester because you're leaving the business that you may view as a child or an extension of your family as in someone else's hands. As I've heard you talk today, I kept, for whatever reason, coming back to a book Bob Buford wrote years ago called Halftime, which you could look at a chronological clock, but the whole premise was from success to significance. And there's now an entire Halftime Institute led by Lloyd Reeb and his team, actually based here out of Charlotte. It's a national organization that helps people prepare for and make that transition. But, you know, as you've worked with business owners directly, I mean, what are maybe a couple of bullet points, Jason, on things that you would suggest they do to, let's start with, prepare the business culturally for a transition. Let's start there.
Yeah, I think it is taking that hard look at who. It's looking at your organization and saying, who do I see carrying this business? Mm-hmm. Ideally, if we're approaching it the right way as an owner of a business, I hope that the people that come behind me do an even better job than I did.
Yep.
So I think it is starting to think very clearly, does that person exist inside of this organization? Or do I know of, it could be a aligned competitor, it could be a key vendor, it could be, start thinking about the who would I want to carry this to the next phase of growth. And then with that, a very deliberate approach to how am I going to develop this individual or create that opportunity for this to continue to move forward. In some cases, it may be a strategic buyer. It could be a third party that maybe isn't involved in the organization, but who you've had a great relationship with. Yep. A separate thing we're working on right now is just that, is something, a healthy competitor. They built a great relationship of respect over the years, and bringing these two organizations together represent a huge opportunity for size and scale and a next level of growth. So I think it's just identifying, what are my options? What are the ones that speak the most to my heart? And then what are the steps I need to take in order to move that in a positive direction?
Okay. That's good counsel. So that's the who, not how kind of adage, I guess, for the business. So my second question then is for the business owner themselves, what are a few things? You've touched on this, but maybe a couple of key points to focus their energy on. You got the business, but then themselves personally.
Yeah, I think the first word that I would offer is grace, is give yourself some grace for not knowing the answer to that mm-hmm. question, because it's often difficult to see what that may be without removing yourself from the situation. It's a very chicken or the egg type event. One of the things I asked the question earlier, could you leave 6 months? In some instances, we may make that one of our milestones in your eventual exit. Is a 6 month vacation.
Okay.
That gives you the opportunity and freedom to be out of the business, get yourself removed, think about even more once the exhaustion starts to ebb away, what truly brings passion and excitement to me, while giving that next class of leadership an opportunity to step into it. It's really the final interview, if you wanted to look at it that way.
Interesting way to look at it.
Are we the people that are going to take this to the next step? So I think that first thing is grace, giving yourself the time and space to identify for this next chapter. And it is the next chapter of significance, mm-hmm. to your point earlier, is what do I want to do with that? How am I going to invest that time in opportunity to create an impact?
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good counsel. And this has been a wonderful conversation. Any parting thoughts relative to this overall topic? I think we covered a lot, but I wanted to get together with you to have a conversation for the podcast listeners again, as we try and be relevant to our listeners to help them stay impactful and relevant. I do know from our conversations and the work you're doing that this is a topic that just easily gets overlooked. So I wanted to do an episode specifically to put it out there. Hey, not every business owner is going to stay for, nobody's staying forever. So it's a question of how do you get out? And how do you do it in a way that can either honor the culture you have or enhance the one you want?
Mm-hmm. Hey, thank you very much for having me. It's, if I had a parting message, would be a thank you to you and the opportunity to serve this very, very important part of our community. I just get to enjoy the conversations that I have with a truly unique and impactful group of people and business owners. So if you're listening and you're a business owner, thank you. Thank you for the impact that you're having in our community. Thank you for the impact that you're having in the lives of the employees and the employees' families that you're providing a valuable resource to, and ultimately for the work that you're doing. You know, one of the reasons I have such a passion for this community is it is truly inspiring to see how multiple individuals from multiple walks of life can take a passion, build a business around it, and make a tremendous impact in the community. So thank you for the work that you do. And thank you, Tim, for having me.
Well, thanks for being with us. And again, I enjoy watching your passion applied to helping businesses be more successful and be more impactful. That's a great gift you have. And I've gotten to see you do that firsthand. And I think that's ultimately finding our unique ability in life is something that not everybody gets to experience. And I think you're very much experiencing that. So I appreciate the work you're doing with the clients you do, with the advisors you work with that work in this very same area, and with the impact you're making in their lives and in this organization and serving this organization. So it's been wonderful having you here on another episode of Winning Through Culture. Again, Jason Goldie. And until we are with you again, be well, be impactful, and be relevant.